Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. It's the Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to give the Word of God again to you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us with an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. Well, amen and amen. We thank God for another blessed Saturday. I got my brother on here, Brother Eddie Lee. God bless you, brother. How you doing?
Yes, sir. God bless. God bless. Let Jesus be exalted. Indeed.
You kind of sound kind of far away there, brother.
Huh?
You kind of sound kind of far away there.
Okay. All right. Just a few minutes. Glory to Jesus today.
Amen.
We want to thank him for the opportunity. We give him the glory and we praise him and worship him because we have our right mind, stable mind, sound mind, and we're together on this accord that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are grateful that he's the only wise God, and we have been permitted today. Yeah, we've been permitted today again to exalt him. We thank God. I appreciate the cool weather I've been having here.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's been very refreshing, and I'm grateful myself personally. The change of the climate have been cooling off here. I live fairly close to Lake Michigan in Chicago, so I'm a little closer to getting more breeze, more refreshing, and I'm grateful. I thank the Lord that my loved ones and families are still here on this side of the earth, and I'm grateful they've been preserved. And those in the close vicinity where I live at, I'm grateful that even the mercy of God has shined upon them and upon our city, but yet preserved, even though there's much violence and confusion here in Chicago and street violence. And we pray that there be a silence of the enemy and a counsel of his work of confusion and violence. Lord, we acknowledge Jesus Christ, and
yes,
he's interceded for us at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. Today we look for a miracle and a spiritual awakening to break forth in this nation. We look for an outpouring of your, not only your power and your anointing, but most to show your glory as in the days of Moses. Let your reign of the second wave or the third wave of the Holy Spirit Pentecost come again. We're setting our sights and our desires, as Joel the prophet says, to weep and mourn and fast and pray and travail until the third wave of Pentecost come again. The great revival that should sweep over the earth and millions of souls. We desire that. We seek that. And this is our decree. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, dear brother.
God bless, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was looking back at the beginning, and you often look back to the beginning of your journey and your walk and your commitment and your coming forth with the Lord Jesus. And you want to look back and remember what the Lord has promised, and he has preserved you through all of the difficult days that you had faced, and you now stand as Moses was, ready to go to the top of the mountain and look and see the glory of God that shall come upon the earth. So we like to see the greatest move, like unto Moses and Elijah, sprinkle upon the earth. And let us pray and believe that and stand in that every day, that there be a great move to counteract what Satan is doing in the earth and pull down his kingdom and destroy his works and bring the spirit and power as it was Elijah, the prophet of old. Today I was thinking, and if there anyone want to say, first of all, that everyone out there have a listening ear, wherever place you are, that you will have missed something important. And I hope that you will tune in to Talk Block Ready, your and listening every evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Wherever you may be, a call in, a compute in, whatever means you have to clock in to Talk Block Radio, even if you have to call on the telephone and clock in, which is 323-870-3403. So we hope you'll tune in to the man of God as he gives his deposit of the end time prophecy and revelation of what the Lord want him to share with the nations. And Brother Nathaniel Hunt will be on and revealing much about the end time work of God in the earth. So everyone out there, without charge, without being bombarded with the calls to send out some money, and he doesn't ask for any money or donation. He doesn't use any kind of scams that got money out of your pocket or anything like that. But if you felt led of the Holy Spirit to give a donation, you're free to do it. But you would not be asked. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit touching you to support something that you think is a blessing. So today, we have been charged and given a portion of grace that we're on this radio to talk about the end time special events of Elijah, the prophet, coming in these last days, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to gather Israel and gather the redeemed from the four corners of the earth. Tribulation. Prepare people for the great move in the Holy Ghost, and prepare people for the plagues that have come upon the earth, that they be standing in a holy place, and that the indignation pass over the elect bride who have made themselves ready. And the last cry, which is called the midnight cry, voiced by an angel coming and bringing a word that God promised through all the prophets, and Jesus also affirmed when he said, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. So today we're broadcasting not for entertainment. We're not broadcasting to get some fame and recognition. All we want to do is to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ to fulfill the call and the message that he has given us for this generation, called the reestablishing and restoring of the everlasting gospel. Revelation 14 and 6. Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. So here we are. God has permitted us to be born and live in this generation. So we, We are grateful that God chose us to be born in this last generation, because we could have been destined to be born 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but we were not born at the Tower of Babel or in Noah's day or in Daniel's day or Moses' day or in the early church. But we're in the last stages of the church age, going into the kingdom of Christ and his rule that soon will be coming. So here today, I want to, where's the sisters at? If they're out there, you may call in wherever you are with a prayer request, a need. Or if you're a sister, since normally this was handmaiden night, but we're not going to limit to handmaidens. But we thank God for Sister Anderson and Sister T being the handmaidens that have been with us mostly all the way. And we're grateful for those that have been praying for us and that who are fearful and afraid to come on board. We're not going to, you know, think less of you. We know you're afraid. But I want to say, break that fear and be a witness for Jesus and share your testimony about the Lord and his work in your life. And this may be your great opportunity that God calls you to be born in this area to speak to people far and wide and use the radio to share your testimony far and wide. And don't be afraid of man. Don't fear what man will say. Remember, you have to stand before the Lord Jesus, and don't worry and worry so much about what the fear of man is. Let the fear of God motivate you to do in great things. If you want to join this broadcast, create your own broadcast. Listen, if you don't, you know, agree with us, create your own broadcast. Amen. What's this, yeah, Brother Nate?
Amen. Amen, brother. I'm with you there, brother. Hey, we're trying to get the gospel message out. People, we love you all. We know you're not going to agree with everything we say. But, hey, you know,
yeah,
we've been commissioned to give the word, and that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. We're not going to say that everyone is going to totally agree with us. And you know, we understand that because people are limited in their understanding. But we say just give us a chance and listen. Listen for a while and then consult the Lord in the word of God. If you think that what we're giving is coming from the throne of God and revealed to this generation, then continue. If you don't, well, go in another direction. We're not going to try to, what they call in Freemason, what they call that thing, brother, in Freemason, they call it, not witch lock, but call it some kind of stuff. They call it.
Oh, okay. You talking about when they come in at the entry level or what?
Yeah. When they come on the entrance level, what they call, the novice beginning of the you're trying to get become a what they call it, a master mason or whatever, and
right,
and you go through all these changes and channels and oaths and secret things and people, you know, those people that really want to be mason, they go through all of this. They swear to things, they make oaths, they make sacrifice and confessions to these secret orders. And so we're not a secret order. We are open with whatever we're doing. See, the coming of Christ and the teaching of Christ is open. There's no secret oath and no secret the Lord is saying in his word. He'll reveal it, make it plain. The gospel is plain. You don't have to go in no back room, make no secret oath like, you know, Freemasons or some of the other Shriners or the Rosicrucian and I don't know, all the other secret groups and some of the secret orders and the Mormonism, which has some kind of secret things they do. The gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed in the Bible and directly from the word of the Lord is plain and simple, open, without any secret order, open to all people to hear and to know. So glad about that, brother, because, you know, things that created on the earth, secret orders, you have to go through all this secret stuff, you know, in order to join it and make secret oath, but the gospel of the kingdom of God, I'm so glad, it's open for all to hear and to know and to see. Hallelujah to Jesus. And, you know, I'm so glad I don't have to swear on no book that if I reveal this secret, you'll rip out my tongue. If you make known any of these secrets of this order, we will rip your tongue out by the oath, out by the roots and all that kind of stuff. No, you come to Jesus, and he'll root sin out of you. The one thing he will root out of you, he will root sin out of you and give you a new heart. Well, I think that's what we'll get, right?
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Right about that. Amen.
So, hallelujah. I never really understood when I was a young man, because I've always, in my family, there were Freemasons, and the Freemason opened many doors. It's a fraternal order that's been existing for a long time, and I wanted to join with my uncles and all of my beloved family what I could accomplish and what doors would open or join the Freemasons. And I tried my best to get in, and I could never understand why it was a block for me to get in Freemason. My uncle was in it, my grandfather has been in it, my father was in it, and he was my father was, 33 degree worship master. And so I heard about how it opened doors, political doors, social doors, national doors, financial doors, job doors. And so I wanted to be a part of it. I tried. I said, I got to get into there. That's something that's going somewhere to be a high Freemason. But, you know, I understand why the Lord kept blocking and I couldn't get in it. And so I'm so grateful now. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I didn't get a hook in that. That secret order. But Jesus came in this world. He didn't come secretly. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea and was not. He announced it. The angels came and announced it. The wise men came from the east searching and seeking to announce it. And John the Baptist came openly announcing it to all Israel. So it wasn't done in no secret, was it?
No, it wasn't no secret there, brother.
And so we're glad. We don't have to. I understand the Roman Catholic has some secret order called the Jesuits and the other groups. And Jesuits, and I don't want to get into that, but they're the secret orders, and they have secret things they do undercover. They're called the hit group, you know, like the assassination group. Then you got another order in the Mormons. I think they call them the Danites. They do secret stuff, and they used did it back in the days. They kill people, and they have secret oaths. So we see all of these. This devilish stuff has invaded a lot of religions, and we're so thank God that what we do is free and open, and you can call in and ask your questions freely if you do it in honest and with respect. But if you come in, you know, and call in, want to debate and do some foolish stuff, of course, we're not going to come into that. But if you want to be honest and humble and respectful, you're welcome to call and ask questions or leave a prayer request. Even join us with a testimony of the Lord Jesus on what the Lord is revealing and doing in your life. We'll welcome you on. Hallelujah. And you don't have to. We recognize that all people don't belong to the Church of Christ with Elijah message and don't belong to our branch, and that they many other groups of Christianity are doing a great work in the earth. So we do acknowledge our brothers in all the earth. Those that believe in the gospel of Christ now. We're not talking about no funny stuff. We're talking about those that believe the teachings of the Lord Jesus. So today, we're going to do something. The sisters haven't joined us. We're going to talk shortly, and then we're going to do something today. Now, other week we asked questions. And we had a talk and questions, and I often think it's a time for people to have questions answered, things that they don't quite understand, because there's many things, some things in the scripture that some people don't understand, and there are many things that other people don't understand, but then there's some things, a few small things some people don't understand. So we'll do the best I can according to what we understand. We don't know everything. We don't have complete revelation on everything, that we do have some revelation truths in us that God has shared and given us in these last days. Now.
Amen. Brother, let's welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. Amen. Thank God for you.
Oh, here, our communicator, as John of with a testimony. And what we do on this broadcast is to share and testify and reveal and make known some important things and about prophetic and about the end time. And it's a, like a off the cuff. We don't have to necessarily, sometimes the Lord give us specific things, specific roads to take. And sometimes we wait upon the Lord to see what he would do on these broadcasts. So we welcome all people with honest and humble hearts and spirits or inquiring minds about the gospel, about the things of God. You're welcome. And especially if you're in another country, in another nation. And we heart goes out, I want to say tonight in this particular, for the martyrs of Christ who are dying across the world, who are suffering in jail and being killed because of the gospel of Christ. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in jail and being tortured, that the Lord will provide a victory and a great testimony for their suffering. And my heart goes out to him, because we are in safe, we're in a good, liberal, safe country and so comfortable in America. And I don't just want to say we are too comfortable. We're at ease in time. We are, what the Bible called in Amos, at ease and almost sleep. I would say that Jesus said there would be a lot of slumbering and sleeping among Christians in the last days. So I had to shake myself to make sure I ain't sleeping here. You shake me, wake me up. You shake me up, Lord. I don't want to be with the sleepy group and the slumbering group. Help me get going. Roller coaster. Put me on the roller coaster. Put me on the roller coaster. I don't want to be on Sleepy John. So we're welcome, Sister Anderson. And we're grateful for you who have been a helpful word to us since we've been on the broadcast. We really appreciate your faithfulness and your dedication. And we appreciate your husband being with you and permitting you to be a part of us. We give him special recognition. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't get no amen on that. Okay, brother. I didn't get no amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't get no amen. We live in a generation? A free womanizing generation in America? What they call it? I do so many names and changes this woman movement. And I believe that women has mistreated in our society and held back and been discriminated. I do believe that. But, however, I think they have taken it too far. They're going way down the road with this freedom and freedom junk. And the devil done got in it, and he's messing up. Just like the Black Lives Matter, I believe the devil done took hold to that, just like he took hold most of these movements. I think the devil, he done jumped into the Democrats, and the devil done jumped into the Republican too, and especially done took over the socialists, and they're trying to take over America. Now, you don't have to agree with me. That's okay.
True anyway.
It's okay. People out there that, you have a right to have another thought, but I see it. I discern. I see where the devil's trying to take America too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to warn people and wake up people to be wise. Hallelujah. Yeah. And walk in the light of Christ so you be not deceived. The devil is invading the political powers to lead us to the one world church which soon will appear, and the one world church order and government is now in the making. They're formulating behind doors the one world government. They're also now formulating the one world church and religion, and they're leading that way. So and they're going to use the coronavirus to use as a stepping stone. But if you are awake, you kind of discern this. It's not hard to understand what the devil seems to be doing if you're living close to God and living close to Christ. Mm-hmm. It'll make you deceived. Common sense will even work in you. So, hallelujah. Yeah. By the way, there's coming a food shortage. We've been telling people, and they don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you right now, if you're overweight, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, I'm just trying to look at it from a wise perspective. If you're overweight, in a little while, you may not have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You may not need the health club. You may not need to run to the health club in a little while, because the food shortage is going to be very scarce, and you will be slim Jim.
Yeah.
Anybody out there?
Yeah.
Amen.
I said, nobody out there? You on a weight losing program in a little while.
Amen.
You won't have to pay to go to the club. I said, you won't have to get a membership at the club to try to slam down. And I really applaud people who try to keep their health down and go to the health club and do exercise. I applaud them because God gave us this body. He told us to take care of it. So I applaud those people. I do admire those people that go and try to keep their body and their health and their weight down. And I really think that that's a good thing. And I think God is good enough to give us insight how to live longer and keep our weight and our health down. But I'm telling you that you're not going to have a lot of problems with weight after a while. Amen. Nobody don't believe you. You know.
Amen.
In the days of Elijah, it didn't rain for 3 years. In the days of Elijah, the prophet, you know, God, he called for a famine and shut up the heaven and did not rain for 3 years. God about to close up the heavens, and he's already closed the heavens in many nations, and there's no rain upon there, but it haven't got to America yet. But he's waiting on America to come back to him, and he's giving us a chance, America, so this thing won't hit us. But we're going to have a shortage of food and rain. And Ramus, that's going to hit us because we will not humble ourselves and repent and come back and submit all to the altar of Christ and let Christ be Lord. And it's coming. Yeah. It's in the making. They're not telling you about it. A lot of things they're keeping hid from you, but that's okay. It'll soon have you knocking on your door and say, what? What? They didn't want just that coronavirus came up on us suddenly.
Uh-huh.
It's like this came and just jumped suddenly. This other thing is going to happen suddenly.
Amen.
Oh, my God. So I'm telling you that we're going to get shake up in these nations. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to start, and the judgment, basically, are going to escalate at the same time. The move of God is going to escalate, and then the judgment is going to parallel at the same time. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe me. Just wait a little while. And you think they're not going to push, like they're killing people in Syria, Yemen, and Ethiopia, this Muslim trying to take over the earth, and they're killing all Christians and the Hindus and all these people with different beliefs are killing all the Bible, trying to kill all the Christians, trying to put them in jail. And shut their mouths, and this same spirit is now in America. I said the same Antichrist spirit is now in America. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you ain't got to believe me. You can say I'm crazy. It's okay. Amen. Just live on a little longer. Then you really say I'm crazy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I thought we just have a what we call off the cuff tonight and just give people some good things so they can pray to be blessed and walk in the blessings of God during the trying times of the earth and don't have to suffer with the wicked or the ungodly. Hallelujah. But you got to, the Bible said that you have to withdraw, come out from among them, the ungodly, the unrighteous, the Antichrist. You have to stand on the holy place and the holy mount, just like Moses had to withstand, pull off his shoes, pull off his shoe when he met God. He said, take off your shoes, Brother Moby, you are standing on holy ground. That's why we're going to have to stand in order to stand there. We're going to do like the Lord told Moses, strip yourself. You're standing on holy ground. And when you stand on the holy ground, no evil can befall you. And no famine can come nigh your dwelling. And nothing can overtake you. When you was, Moses was wrapped in the glory of God, he was wrapped in the great Shekinah garment of God's glory. When he was wrapped in that mountain and he went up there for 40 days and he went up another 40 days, he fasted for 80 days in the presence of God. He was 80 days without food or water, and he lived in the presence of the glory of God. And when he came down, he was so saturated, he stopped aging. Now we can we're looking at the time that we're gonna get so saturated with the glory of God in our flesh that we'll stop aging and no sickness nor disease will even come nigh us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And nobody ain't talking, nobody don't act like they don't want that place to come.
Yes. Amen.
During the days of famine, some of us gonna eat angels' food. And we're gonna go on for 40 and 50 days without eating angels' bread. Well, we don't want to get into that either because we already think people think we're crazy. So, okay.
Well, brother, we want to welcome on Sister Helen. God bless Sister Helen.
God bless.
Amen. God bless you.
Hello, woman of God.
Amen.
And you and your family and your loved ones, we're glad to hear your voice again today. We thank you for you two women of God has stuck with us through thick and thin, and we appreciate it, don't we, Brother Nate?
Amen.
Thank you,
we think
Jesus.
That you all got true grit. John Wynn, what is that movie he made? True Grit. So we think you all got true backbones, and we commend you. And we're not saying nobody else don't have it, but we're just saying you all showed up when we need you the most. And we really appreciate that. And we're trying to promote the kingdom of God in Christ. And y'all took your place and stood in your place. And may the Lord reward you and bless you tremendously, you and your family, for being true and faithful. And making your voice heard around the world. Aren't you glad that your voice is being heard around the world in a certain place? For Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Make your voice heard in every place. Yes. The women around the earth need somebody to reach out to them. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I want to say today I'd like to share about the great confession.
Mm-hmm.
The great confession.
Mm-hmm.
What do that mean? The great confession equals possession. What are we to possess? The greatest confession. Have you looked in the Bible in the 10th chapter of Romans? And this is called this particular truth that is unfolded, and the Apostle Paul spoke about this great confession. He says in the 10th chapter of Romans, what is it, from 17, 18, 19. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
amen.
But then, here's the other important part.
Yeah.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't say thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say confess the prophet Jesus.
No.
He didn't say that.
Amen. He didn't.
He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. Amen.
And believe in thy heart.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And believe in thy heart.
Yeah, believe in thy heart. And
now, and before that he said, faith come by hearing.
Yeah.
And after you heard, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
Yeah, Lord. Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
For confession,
amen.
Then he said, confession is made and unto salvation. And the heart believe it continually. It's not just receiving Christ one time and can stop believing. Believe it continually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is called the
Amen.
Great confession. In fact,
yes.
It's the greatest confession in the whole perimeth thing, because you can confess anything, but if you don't confess this great confession that you may possess life and eternal life, that's why Paul unveiled this to the Gentiles and you. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God the Father has raised him from the dead.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For confession is made unto what? And believe it unto what? So this is a great confession.
Yep.
in order to receive or to possession.
Amen.
In Genesis, how was everything created? Remember 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, now we understand that the word of God was framed. How was it made? How did the world and the universe come into it? Well, we understand that the, what? 11th chapter?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to read that? Get 11th chapter and read the first three verses of the 11th chapter of Hebrew so that people know we're not making it up.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So we just want to make sure that people know it's written and the scriptures can't be broken and the scriptures stand, the eternal scriptures of the Bible stands. The law and the prophets and the apostles and what Jesus taught stands. Agreement.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hebrews 11.
Now,
Now
faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wow. Gladys. Genesis says, and Yah, and Elohim, said. First, the word was counsel and said, let us make man. Now, an agreement with Cain, a decision was made in the heavenly council. And the revolution of the creation of time and space and earth in existence, saying, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And the Lord spoke. Now listen how. All this order of things. And the Lord said, first he announced it, we're going to make man, heavenly counsels, and he confessed it. And then he said, very good. And after he completed, he said, very good. But then he says, let there be.
Yeah.
Let there be. Now the word came out of his mouth. From a secret place of his counsel and his wisdom, let there be. And oddly enough, everything start to be framed and start in creation, in motion. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now,
Amen.
This is the principle, the great confession, in order to bring it about.
Yes.
He spoke and it was.
Mm-hmm.
We understand how the nations, the world, and the universe was framed.
Yes.
The Bible
Amen.
Says, out of the abundance of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the abundance of the heart speaketh or believe it.
Jesus.
Last time people used to say this when I hear little kids, when a person will get drunk, we have people get drunk and they start saying a whole lot of stuff.
Amen.
And they will say a lot of stuff that was, you know, coming out of them and say, then after they get sober, they say, oh, I didn't mean that. Wait a minute. Hold on now. Where did it come from? Out of your heart, didn't it? So it must have been somewhere down there. So drunk people will speak sobering. I said drunkness will bring out stuff out of you that's there, whether it's good or evil.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, it's coming out. If you get drunk enough, that tongue will bring it out.
Yes.
So out of the heart.
Out of the heart. Declare,
whether it's good or evil. Well, that's it. It's gonna come confessing now. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. You know what the 11th chapter of Hebrews says? If thou shalt confess, no. In the 11th chapter of Mark, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, his own lesson from his own mouth. And he gave them a great lesson to all believers. And he talks about the authority of faith and the power of God's kind of faith. This is not a regular kind of faith. This is not a natural faith. This is not an ordinary kind of faith. This is a God's kind of faith. And that's on a level that's different from just faith in this world, a natural, a faith that we can comprehend. But this is a spiritual, authoritative, powerful, creative faith. Now, listen to what it says. If thou shalt say to yonder mountain, he spake to his disciples with a lesson when he cursed the fig tree, and he passed by and there was no fruit on it. He cursed the fig tree and says, well, I cursed the tree, and he spoke to the tree, and the tree is cursed. So the next evening, I think they came by, they saw the fig tree had withered. And then he gave a lesson. If thou should say to yonder mountain, be thou removed. Now remember what he says, if thou should say. He didn't say nothing about praise. Now, he didn't say praise to the mountain.
He said say.
Okay. If thou should speak or say to the mountain, thou, or command the mountain, whatever you want to say, to command the mountain and speak in authority, and shall believe and doubt not, shall believe in thy heart and doubt not, believe in your heart and doubt not, believe in your heart and doubt not, believe in our heart. Now, where's this praise coming from? The heart now.
Heart.
It's sold in the heart. It's built up in the heart. So, if you get enough of this good stuff in you, thou shalt say. Really? Thank you, Jesus. And not doubt, but believe in the heart. And say, and repeat it three times, say. And you read that scripture. Three times he said, say, say. So the saying must be very important. Then he says, if thou shalt not waver, which is thou shalt not doubt. So every time you release something, doubt is going to try to come and say, immediately right after that. So you got to speak to the doubt.
Yes, Lord.
Because the wavering going to come, try to make you waver. Well, thou shalt not doubt. Now, here's my point.
Amen.
I was saying out of our mouth, our mouth has been ordained to speak. When you get in Christ and there's a word, your mouth is not like your mouth before you became. Your tongue has been an instrument and a tool to release something, because it's been anointed with life and light and authority. Why? Because you are made and recreated in the image of God. Well, what do that mean? He said, when he made man, I'm creating you in my image, my likeness. When man fell, he had to recreate man. We call the new creation is a recreation of redeemed man. So, we don't know the authority that's in our mouth, not really, or in our tongue, or in our hearts. The devil has done a good job. Sword of the living God. That's why we have to keep our mouth in a holy place.
Amen.
Keep our life so that our mouth will have authority to do what God wants to do with it. If we don't, the devil's going to use it.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, yeah. He's going to use our fleshly pride, our fleshly side, and use our tongue to spew out sometimes poison or anger, bitterness, you know, get it, something, until we get that tongue back in line. Get that tongue under authority. That's why you have to keep submitting to God, to keep that tongue and that life under authority. You know, because you know how a baby is. If you keep him in the cradle, you got control of it. But he's trying to get out of that cradle. And I remember my son, Josiah, we had this cradle, this baby cradle, that he had given us. And we pull up the thing so he couldn't get out. And so one day we found out he stood in that cradle, and he was looking, and he figured out that I'm getting out of this cradle. And he was in the cradle, and he went to one corner. He would run and stick his leg up like a high, you know, in the Olympic. And I watched him, and he'd go to the corner, and he would run and stick his leg up until he finally figured a way to get over that cradle. He would run and stick it like a jump in a high, in an Olympic, one of those high jumps. And he finally figured out a way.
Yeah.
Until we thought, and he would make it like that. We pulled the thing up and think he would sit there like, okay, y'all think y'all got me. So we go in another room, and I would watch him, and he would sit there for a little while, and he'd look. Then he'll run like he's running the Olympic and stick that leg up. And he finally got over that hurdle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, kids are really, really, really so smart in their innocence.
They are. Yes.
They are so smart in their innocence.
That's true.
They're so cunning, and they're learning ways. I tell you, we can learn from children. Jesus said, watch children.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them to watch little children.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, y'all can learn a lot. He said, watch the little children. Except you become like little children, you won't see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the innocence. The innocence.
Yeah.
Now, do you know how little children are easily to forgive one another?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. They'd be fighting in one moment.
That
half hour, where you going? And they'd be sneaking right back with the same one they've been fighting, and they'd be up there playing again. Didn't I tell you stay away from that boy house? And they don't sneak right back there.
Mm-hmm.
And are made up. And the parents are the one that's the trouble, because they try to, they don't be healed one another. And they be healed one another, and the parents jump in. Stay away from them. See, the parents are the real problem. Sometimes the problem is with the parents. Sometimes.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He says in the beginning of the creation, all the stars and everything in the universe and galaxy was spoken into existence.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to one situation of mankind, that couldn't be spoken in condition, in position. He had to recreate that by molding in his own hand. Now, here's a difference that we're going to understand later. Jesus is teaching us about the true confession. And true confession is a projection and a proclamation. True confession is projecting something that will happen in the future that you don't see with a natural eye in the making.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the making. And you can't see with a natural eye. When you speak something, in existence, you may not see it immediately with the natural eye.
Uh-huh. That's true.
In the spiritual realm, something is taking place, but you can only discern it by the Spirit of God, and it has to be by faith. But you can't discern it through your five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your five senses come in play, it has materialized there. That's when you can see it materialize. But in the spiritual realm, it's taking place, and faith has to continue hold it in place. I say our faith has to hold it in place. You remember how many prayers that we have put out there and we negate it and pull them back? Because we didn't keep it in place in faith. We didn't keep speaking and declaring.
Uh-huh.
I learned a little lesson, and we learned God teaches about little things, little natural things. There was I needed a place to stay. I was living on Mission, so I wanted this place. So there was a bunch of new places over there, and they told me the list was so long, people that's ahead of me, and it would take, I don't know, a couple of years, a year, where I might not even get to me. I said, I need a place now in the next 30 days. I mean, no, I need. And these people are way ahead of me. Oh, well, sir, you'll be so far down on the list, we won't even get to you until, I don't know. So I went home. I said, I'm going to experiment with faith. You know, we have to experiment with faith. In the record of Nephi, it says, experiment with faith. Activate it. See whether it's real.
Yeah.
Work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Work with it. So I went in home, and I took the 11th chapter of Mark, and I began to meditate on the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 22, thou should say. So every day, for weeks, every time I opened my mouth, I began to say. And I began to say, I'm at the bottom of it's 200 or 150 people ahead of me. But faith said, I'm going to get ahead of them. I'm going to be on the first. And 30 days, hallelujah. And I began to say, so every time doubt came to my mind, every time doubt would try to come to my mind, I would confess. I would speak. All through the day, when doubt would show up in my mind, I reject it, and I started confessing. I rebuked it, and I started confessing until it would leave.
Yeah.
Every time it would come less and less, and I would speak it. When every time doubt would knock in, I said, I will confess what the word of God says. I will speak it. I will give it the great confession of God. I was holding and I held it. And then finally, nothing happened, and I had one day left. One day left. Before the end of that lease, I had to go. And I learned a valuable lesson. Now, the 30 days, I had to have it in 30 days. Hallelujah. So on the 29th day, since I hadn't got it, here's how I lost it at. On the 29th day, I let go my faith and my confession. I got the letter the next day on the 30th day saying I was accepted.
My Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I would confess the word of God every day when I would go to work, lay down. I would get up. I would hold the faith of the promise. I would, every time doubt would say, well, maybe, I would rebuke, maybe, I would rebuke, I would rebuke every thought. I bring every subjection to every thought that would come down. Every thought, doubt, and belief, I would cast it down. I would reject it. And I did it for 30 days. And I began to say to that mountain of unbelief every time it showed up, every time it went, knocked at my door, until it started coming. That unbelief got less and less and doubt. And then I resisted for 29 days. Then I said, well, you know, look like.
My Lord.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Amen.
Yes.
If thou should continue say, and hold it in place, and have somebody else agree with you, and hold it in place, and hold it in place,
Amen.
Until it sticks, until it's stuck, and can't be moved.
Amen.
Now. We got about, 20 minutes left or 15?
Brother, you're on a 90-minute tonight, so you got 34 minutes left.
Okay. Well, let's make the devil mad and offend many people.
and make a lot of other people and make a lot of other people glad.
Yes, make them glad. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Yes.
Now let
Lord.
Me say,
thank
the
you,
great
Jesus.
Confession, holding fast your faith in Christ and the promise, is this
mm-hmm.
way. All of us have learned God's trying to teach you natural things. God used natural things to teach us spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And many times in the Bible, he used parables and spiritual things that they could understand to relate to teach them a spiritual truth. Wow.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like this. When you want to get real dirt and filth off your dishes, you
mm-hmm.
wash them every day down the
mm-hmm.
drain.
Mm-hmm.
And use the
right.
soap and the soap and the water to wash them clean.
Uh-huh.
So every day that the devil try to condemn you with something, you beat him to the punch, and in your fellowship, you wash your mind and wash your heart with the soap every day so he got nothing to say but a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if you want your conscience to be clean and pure, then you just wash it every morning. You meet with Jesus on your bed. You wash it clean.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
I mean, we can have perfect faith without fear.
Mm-hmm.
I said we can have perfect
Amen.
Faith without fear.
Yeah.
If you meditate and hear the word of God constantly in your mind, in your spirit, and wash
mm-hmm.
your conscience, and keep a clear conscience and wash it every time the devil come with a condemnation.
Uh-huh.
And you wash it every morning. I washed it. I washed my conscience with the word of God.
Yeah.
And there is no condemnation, no sin, no iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
I washed it, so get away from my door, devil. And I have perfect
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
I have
Amen.
Perfect faith without condemnation. Because, see, the devil
yeah.
going to condemn you every morning and say, well, you know, he going to point out something.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to point this out to try to keep your faith
mm-hmm.
from operating perfectly. So what you do,
mm-hmm.
you do like you the toilet, flush it down the drain.
Amen.
Flush everything down.
Amen. Amen.
Turn the water on, let the sink be clean, wash it, wash your mind,
yes.
wash your conscience,
wash
it clean, that you may every day have a perfect conscience before God.
Yes.
And your heart
mm-hmm.
be pure and therefore, the devil, wait a minute, hold on here. No, I ain't holding nothing to hold on,
mm-hmm.
minute, nothing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
now let's
mm-hmm.
look at this. Keeping a pure heart and a clean conscience and a pure heart
yeah.
and clean conscience. Now, keeping
mm-hmm.
a pure heart and clean conscience, that's not as hard as we think it is. But the devil is trying to make it impossible because it has
mm-hmm.
to be done by faith and confession. Now, listen up. It's got to be done by faith and confession. You got to hold to the confession of the word of God. I'm pure. I'm clean. I'm sanctified.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the devil, here he comes up. Well, you know, let me show you something. No, don't. You ain't showing me nothing.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the promise.
Uh-huh. Amen.
I'm looking
mm-hmm.
at the promise. I'm not looking what you say. My flesh is going to speak to me.
Yeah.
You know your flesh will speak to you and say, well,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
you your flesh is against you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's
why? He ain't redeemed. My flesh
That's
ain't
right.
redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he will become an enemy to me. That's why he got to be crucified every day.
Yes, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
And do you know you have to do what mm-hmm. Romans 12 said and renew your mind with the word of God? Renew your mind?
Yeah. Yes.
If you don't
mm-hmm.
renew your mind with the word of God, your mind will be against you. And
uh-huh.
because
yeah.
listen, I'm trying to experiment once. And I did it for, I don't know how long I did it, 4 or 5 weeks. I got up and I praised the Lord and I magnified Jesus and I worshiped Jesus. And I cancel everything the devil would bring up, and I come against the devil, and I cancel every darkness. I come against every yoke for 34 days, straight day every day.
Mm-hmm.
You will be surprised
mm-hmm.
if you activate and confess what the word of God says.
moving the great confession, how you defeat your own mind being your enemy and your flesh warring against you. But you have to be consistent with the great confession and the great to possess a clear conscience and holy hands. There is something you have to do with the great confession. Well, yeah.
Amen.
Because your flesh will say, look at yourself. Look at yourself. What's the devil going to say? Look at you, what you said yesterday. Look at you. What are you talking about? Then you have to come back and say to Satan, you the biggest fool that ever in creation. You the biggest dummy. The biggest nut. The biggest ignoramus. The biggest moron. You had it made in heaven or in the throne of God. And you got your nutty self kicked out. You a fool, devil, because you ain't got nothing to say to me. You a liar. You a accuser. You've been defeated. You had the glory of God and the throne of God around that, and you lost it and gave it away. So what advice can you give me, devil? Why should I listen to a fool, the devil?
Don't
tell me about my life. Get away, you foolish dog. Broke wing, one-eyed nut. You the biggest fool. So why you come walking and creepy? You got nothing to say. The only thing that got something to say to me is the word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is called a great high priest about confession, our profession. Why is he called the great high priest of our profession? Well, he said, then he goes and says, hold fast the confession of your faith. And build yourself. Do you know why a lot of people could not stand and have not stood in this Elijah message and could not stand when the storm came against them? Do you know why they had no standing room or standing rooted? Why, when the storms or the difficulties or the trials hit them, they were washed out of this work and washed away? And some of them denied it and rejected it, and some just blamed it on other people. Because when you fail, you have to blame it on somebody, but mostly you ain't going to blame it on yourself. Do you know the greatest problem with us and all humans? We have to blame it on somebody, but we're not really going to blame it on our own self. So if I fall or fail, if I really want to be honest and be real, I can spend my time blaming other people because why? Because I individually made a covenant. I promised God.
Individually,
I vow to Jesus.
Amen.
I didn't say, Jesus, if people fail me, I'm not going with you. I didn't say, Lord, if people persecute me and lie on me, I'm not going with you. You didn't make that statement.
Amen.
You didn't say, my best friend turned their back on me, then I can't go. You didn't say, church people disappointed me, so I'm not going.
My Lord.
Say that. Your faith and your foundation was based on another confession. Lord, I will die for you. I'll lay down my life for you. I'll not turn around if my friends reject me. Jesus went up that hill anyway.
Amen.
He was the most friendless person. He had hundreds and even up to 1,000 people following him. But it went up that hill, it went up by itself, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Amen.
Where was Brother Peter at? Where were Brother Matthews and Mark and their thing? Where were they at? Where was the crowd? There was crowd. They were following him for the miracles of the bread. Where were they at?
Amen. Right. Amen. Individual.
Did he hold? Did Jesus hold fast his confession? For this call came I into the world. For this call was I born. Did he hold fast his confession?
Yes,
did he hold fast? My Father will never forsake me. And my mission is Golgotha, my mission. My mission is not what my friends do and those around me, what Peter do. My mission is what the Father command me. See, this is why a lot of people are not able to stand when storms, great storms come. Because they're standing on somebody else's faith. You got to have your own.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In this work of Elijah method, you definitely got to have your own.
Amen.
And somebody's faith will help you and may even bless you, but it can't take you all the way.
That's right. Amen.
You got to have your own foundation. Is that right?
That's right.
Amen.
If you don't have a testimony that Elijah is coming in three or four ways, you will be swept away like many people are.
Amen.
And they blame. Mm-hmm. They know what they basically do? They blame other people. Well, other people may hinder them, but they totally in Jesus.
Amen.
I said they may hinder you, but they can't stop you because it didn't stop Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
I said they may hinder you, their failure may hinder you or influence you, but they can't stop you. Because your confession, the confession and revelation you got came from above.
Amen.
Yes.
Well,
amen.
That's why a lot of people in this much, they're standing on auntie's confession or my uncle's confession or Brother So-and-so confession.
Mm-hmm.
Where is yours at?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Do you get me? Do you get me? So they let go of their confession, their faith, because it wasn't grounded in the right place. It was on what somebody else had said, and what my mother was in the church, and my auntie was a, you know, that. So that's why I'm here. That ain't going to do.
Won't do.
When the test comes, when the storm blows, it'll sweep you away.
Amen.
Your confession got to be anchored.
Yeah.
I said, anchored. You know why I'm still in this work, even though I the devil has tried to sweep me away all these years? And I had many invitations to join all kind of churches and ministries. And at times, your emotions would be on the brink that, well, that do make a little sense.
Yeah.
And here's why the devil persuades you through your senses.
Use
your senses and your mind that's not renewed and anchored in Christ, in the testimony. Mm-hmm. Now, well said, the great confession. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at people that started with this Elijah message, and many over the years are swept away, right?
Amen.
And you look at why were they swept away? Why couldn't they stand? Why couldn't they not withstand? Because see, the Lord told you that you're going to be tested to the uttermost. And so when you make a covenant, you're going to be tested.
Yes.
So if you ain't for real, that show up in a little bit. If you play a game, it's going to show up. And your confession's going to get, and if you're standing with somebody else's faith and somebody else's confession and don't have your own from heaven, that's going to show up in a while, too.
Amen.
Having the right confession, your own.
Yes.
Your own from heaven.
Amen.
Your own from the throne.
Amen.
See, you're wild able to stand in this message because I had to get four testimonies And four is the cornerstone of confession.
Mm-hmm.
To deliver you from all doubt when the winds blow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To deliver you from all unbelief when the wind blow. First of all, friends will turn their back on you. Families will deny you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Husband and wife may say, well, I'm not. People that in your religious group or friends that started with will let you down and go down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in no larger message. I don't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get your testimony, your confession from God, or did you get it from some other place? Why are you letting it go if it came from God? Was you lying all the time, or you being deceived all the time?
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
But it's founded on. Okay, now, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why Satan wants all to be ignorant of God's covenant, his good word and promises, because you are now something that he cannot be. You are heir and a joint heir. As Romans 8 says, that's something the devil can never be.
Amen.
That's a jewel you are placed with Christ. You are heir and a joint heir, and Satan can never have that. You are precious to God as a jewel. You are more precious than silver and gold. So that's why the devil can only offer you things of this world. You notice the devil can only offer you things of this world.
Yeah.
When in Matthew 4, what did he offer Jesus to buy his confession and his staff?
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew 4, what did he offer Jesus? He had nothing else but to offer the things of this world.
Yes.
He couldn't mm-hmm. offer you anything else.
Anything.
He had to offer you everything in the physical world.
Right.
In the earthly world, because that's all the things that he had to offer Jesus.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these nations. I'll make you the ruler of all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you fame and fortune. Who don't want fame and fortune and notoriety and wealth and riches and rulership? He said, I'll give you all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you let you hold your confession and just say, worship me, just a little bit.
Mm.
Abraham hoped against hope. In Romans chapter 4 and 20, read that, and we look like we're built. Romans 4 and 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Romans 4 and
Romans
20.
Romans chapter 4. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Read someone.
Okay, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not as the promise of God.
Verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 19 and 20.
Okay. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Now, he staggered not at the promise of God. Now, like, you know why he didn't stagger? Even though, you know, when people look at the Elijah Message Church group and they look into their natural mind and their natural senses?
Yeah.
And the devil works with our natural senses and mind and our logic. They can't see in the spiritual realm. So they can't see. This is why their confession is based on what they see with the natural realm. That's what their confession is.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
That you see, that confession is in the wrong area. Now, because now you look at the Elijah message, you say, wow, I mean, and look at these people. They're divided, and they're down to the natural realm, and they're down to look like globally glob. And so I don't see how God is going to use them to bring the nations together and bring the, I can't say it. A bunch of old men, fuddy-fuddies, and doo-doo-doo, they don't even love one another. Wait a minute. I don't see nothing clucking and clicking. So what now here's the thing with Abraham. Abraham was promised a land, and he was promised a seed to inherit the land. But here he is, 100 years old, and can't even naturally give birth. The woman is 99. She can't even give birth. It's the natural law says she can't have no children. Oh, God must be playing games here. I don't see. But Abraham staggered not. Why he did not stagger? He was traveling from his father's land all those months and years, and the promise had not yet been fulfilled. You look at the Elijah message, all the promises that God is making the message are not yet fulfilled. And so we stagger because we don't see in the material realm or the natural realm how the Church of Christ can rise again above it, how God can call it to be renewed and rise above it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We can't figure it out. So, well, I tell you, I don't know. I just got to go. I mean, I thought they was that so-and-so. Yeah. Your confession based upon you seen everything materialize in the natural realm, and you said God can do the impossible, but then you take back your confession, God can do anything. You said that's what you say. He can raise this church up and these people, and he has preserved the people, and he is going to complete his work. He's going to fulfill his promise, and he's going to do what is impossible. He can confine the wise and those who think they know, but they know not God and his ways. The great confession you must hold.
Great confession, yes, Lord.
Because it came from heaven, and he's going to bring it to pass.
And
hey,
thank you.
I said he's going to fulfill it.
Yes.
I don't care what it looked like. I don't care how many people believe this word. I don't care how many people don't believe the Elijah message. I don't care if they believe for a little while. I don't believe when they live for a short while or a big while. He is not going to fail because God has confessed his word. God has renounced his word. He has released the word, and his confession that he has given out is going to be a possession in its in his due time, if we faint not.
If we faint not.
And hold fast the confession of heaven's confession. I mean, you got to have a heavenly confession now, because you'll lose hope if you don't get a heaven's conviction.
Yes. Amen.
A heavenly multitude of testimonies.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
In place. Because the wind's going to blow in every form if you don't have a heavenly testimony. If you have a second place faith and confession upon somebody else's alone, that will not establish you. That may help you, but it won't establish you.
Yeah.
Well, I believe for a while, but my cousin, they left, my aunt left, so I got to do what they do. Okay.
Jesus.
Do what they do.
Jesus, my Lord.
Do what they do, because they're your God. They're your covenant. They're your confession. It's built on what they do.
Jesus.
Built on what they do. Apostle Swanson, great man, a gifted man, he left. Apostle Thompson, he rejected it. Apostle so-and-so, they moved it away. It don't make no difference because Peter was not there. Jesus finished his ministry. It don't make no difference. Was Mark there? Luke was there. The crowd was there. He was committed to his father's confession and plan. And when Jesus, everybody thought it was all over with, when he was forsaken,
on the third day. On the third day. When he looked hopeless and helpless, he held fast. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The glory. Hallelujah. Now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So we must be God about.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want us to understand the power of the right confession based upon the word and the testimony of heaven.
Yes.
When Jesus, in the ninth chapter of Acts, when Jesus, he revealed himself and Paul encountered Christ on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that they put in Paul in order for Paul to be called the suffering apostle. He said, I suffered more than they all. I labored more than them all.
Mm.
And he suffered things so intensely and greatly for the gospel. And, but it's something that was put in him when Jesus had an encounter. That's why you have to have an encounter with God, with Christ, before you can stand in his work. I'm telling you now, you can't stand in this work. You can play cake and tell me I believe for a little while. I believe because my auntie believes. I believe because Brother Savage believes. I believe because Brother So-and-so believes. That may be a help to you. And a second place. But you got to have a first place encounter. Says a first place encounter.
Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
A first
Amen.
Place encounter. You and the Lord Jesus, you and the Holy Ghost, you and the revelation, you caught up. You meet the Lamb of God. He established something in your heart that nobody can move. Why do you think the Brother Clark, every time you meet him, no matter how what he would go through, him and Sister Clark like two peas in a pod, nothing could persuade them from this work.
Yeah.
And no
one.
I'm that level shot.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That was that confession was built on the rock.
Yes.
I said confession was built on the rock.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'll have
Thank
to finish this till next tomorrow. I have to try to complete this tomorrow. But I want us to do a couple of confessions right quick. How many minutes we got, brother?
Got about 6 minutes.
Okay. I want you to turn to 119 Psalms. And we're going to use four of these minutes right quick about this great confession. All right. 119 Psalms. Psalms 119. I was told in my disobedient self, in my disobedient partial self, long ago, to read the 119th Psalm, which is the longest psalm, actually the longest scripture or book in the whole Bible, the 119th Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
So, to study the 119th Psalm, of course, you know, being hard-headed, disobedient, partially. And I was told about studying the book of Proverbs and certain things in Proverbs. I studied a little bit, and 119 Psalms. You know how we are. You know. I ain't going to make no excuses for myself. All right, now. I'm going to make a couple confessions right quick, and it's based on what? All right. Psalm, we're going to light up heaven a little bit with this confession. Verse 57.
Mhm. Amen.
Now this is written; it can't be moved. The scriptures, verse
yeah.
2. Thou art my portion.
Mhm.
O Lord Jehovah, I have said, I will keep thy words.
Yes.
Thou art my portion.
Thou art my portion.
I have said, I will keep thy word.
Yes. Yes.
Thou art my portion. Thou art my portion.
Yes, thou art my portion.
I, singular. Thou art my portion.
Oh, yes. Lord God, I have said,
mm-hmm.
I will keep
yes.
thy word.
Yes,
I will
Lord.
Keep thy word.
Yes.
Verse 89.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Forever, O Lord God, thy word is settled in heaven.
Yes.
Anybody want to confess that with me? Verse 89.
Yes.
Forever,
yes.
O Lord.
Forever,
forever, O Lord.
Forever, O Lord. Thy word,
thy word
is settled in heaven.
Thy word,
yes.
Thy word is settled.
Is settled.
Settled in heaven. Settled in heaven. Settled in heaven.
Settled in heaven.
Because
yes,
if it's settled,
Lord.
It's settled in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's fixed and settled in my heart. It's fixed and settled. Because
yes.
it's why? Because mm-hmm. it's what? Thy word is settled in heaven.
Yep. The word is settled in heaven, settled in my heart. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse
97. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 97, we confess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
All the day.
Oh,
thank you,
how
Jesus.
I love I thy law.
Mm-hmm.
It is my meditation all the day.
Yes.
All
Thank
the
you.
Day. And as we close this session tonight, we thank
you.
As I read one more in my closing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would say this, as David said, 127. Psalms 127, Psalms verse 127, verse 127, verse 126, and I'll get the rest of them tomorrow. Verse 106, let us confess, it is time for thee, Lord, to work.
Yeah.
For thou hast made, they have made void thy law. They said the Elijah message is no good. And true. It's time for thee, O Lord.
Yes.
To work.
It's time for thee, O Lord.
It's time for you, Lord, to work.
It's time for me. Yes, Lord.
For they
work.
Have made void thy law.
Yes, for they have made void thy law.
Oh. They have said it's no good, and this word in Revelation is not true. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold.
Yeah.
I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now, we thank God for this few moments about the great confession and projection.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
How he fulfilled all of his promises, whether you see or perceive it by your senses or not. Hold fast the confession you receive from heaven.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And the throne of God.
Yes, Lord.
If you haven't got one, you better get one. If we don't have one, we better get one. That's why the Elijah message, many of them could not withstand this last day move of Revelation. They didn't get. They haven't received.
Yes.
It's second-handed. It's second place. Establish me, O Lord, for thy word is settled forever in heaven. Hallelujah. Thou hast spoken, so it is.
Yes.
I hold fast. All right, beloved, everywhere in the world, you can make a decision about Jesus being your Lord tonight. All you got to ask him, all you got to say from your heart, from faith, here I am, Lord. I recognize I need a Savior, a Redeemer, a Lord, the one that redeemed, one that delivered. Come, live your life in me. Save me, redeem me, deliver me. You do that in faith, then you find a way, the place that God wants you to be baptized and wise and to walk in new life, and that the Holy Spirit might take over your life. We love you, too, with the love of God. Now, you all be blessed. So until tomorrow, We'll see you tomorrow at the same time at 7.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for all you've been listening once again. Don't forget tomorrow night another broadcast at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertising then. As for Brother Eddie Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Helen Teague, and God bless you, Sister Anderson. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.